wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now. Hey, I wake up just to get down. I don't know if I can get them, but I got them right now.
Develop these bars for the developing stars, whoa. Wrecked by the stars, though, but they know just who they are. The knowledge is deep, man, cause college is bleak, man. Knees of the bees, man. Devi happy hour now. I trust him with everything. Every confidence giving me confidence. Hipping is hopping and really no stopping. I'm making you a champion. Y'all put a sock in it. But this is life, bro. They're at it all night, though. So you can just drive slow and get down with the Devi crew.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever you are listening, wherever you are listening. Thank you so much for listening to the Devi Happy Hour. This is episode 48. My name is Skip Newton. It's episode 11 for me. We are really happy to be back. It's been a while since before the 4th of July. I got caught up in some personal vacations. Always good times, of course, spend time with friends and family, but safely, of course. But we are a member of the Dynasty Happy Hour team of podcasts. You've got the main show with the big boys, Tim Keller, Doug Eddy, and Tyler Gunther. They record nearly every Sunday night. Awesome to listen to those guys. The DHH Contractor is another one. Randy, a.k.a. Memphis, hosts that one where he breaks down your lineup right on his show and tells you what the roadmap is for success. If you're interested, be sure to reach out to him on Twitter, which is on the internet, at DFFMemphis. And the IDP Power Hour, you got to get into that if you're into individual defensive players. Oklahoma Doug and Russ at Clutch Russ 72. Awesome guys, very entertaining, so you got to check them out as well. Also want to spotlight an article that I was checking out on thedynastyhappyhour.com by Corey Spala. Really good. He breaks down the 2020 rookie tight end class. A lot of good information there. So be sure to check us out. Always pushing out more content on dynastyhappyhour.com. But now I need to get to my co-hosts. First and foremost, Brian Shikoshis, Shaq, Master Yoda. How are you, Brian? It's been too long, buddy.
It's definitely been too long. It's great to be back with you boys. Let's talk some ball. Really excited for this one. Got some C2C, Campus to Canton freshman drafts coming up. One starting this week with you fellas. So I'm really stoked for it. This is going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah, awesome. It's amazing how I hadn't even heard of these Campus to Canton leagues until this offseason. Now it just they're sprouting up everywhere. They're so much fun. I can't get enough of them, and it's really hard to say no when you get an invite from all these awesome people in the industry. So good times there. We got challenged by a bunch of other Devi podcasts and some fans as well. So we're getting into that. Going to bring some honor to the Devi Happy Hour, of course. And we can't do that without our third co-host from North Carolina, Matthew Jackson. I call him Obi-Wan. How are you, Matt?
Doing good, man. I'm excited to be back and talk some football with you guys. It's been far too long with vacations and just illness and whatnot going around. It's good to be back, good to talk some football and just hang out with you guys.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's so nice to be back. And, of course, because it's been so long, we have a lot of news. Not great news, but not all that surprising either. And maybe it'll end up being a good thing. One of the things that was really interesting about back when we were recording last was the Mississippi quickly voted to remove the Confederate flag from their state flag, which, of course, was pushed by, I believe, Kylan Hill was the one that went out publicly and said he is not going to play until that happens. Of course, we were talking off air about it, and I expertly predicted, well, that's going to take forever to change. And literally 72 hours later, they voted to take it off. So clearly my political prognostication talents are not what they should be. But I promise you listeners, I'm much better when it comes to fantasy football prognostications. conferences are making decisions on the fall season. Ivy League canceled their entire 2020 fall football season, as well as other fall sports. And the Big Ten and Pac-12 have also decided that they are limiting their games to only conference play. I think that does bring about some more control in the hopes of keeping, obviously, the teams, the players, the coaches, everyone involved safe and healthy, limiting as much exposure as you can. You know, what are your thoughts on that, guys? And have you heard anything about possibly, you know, other Power 5 conferences making the same decision? They might be forced to. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, for me, it's while we all saw this coming, right? We saw that we weren't probably going to play a full season just because of COVID and the way everything's happening with it. So this is something we all kind of anticipated. But for me, one of the things that is at least a little bit upsetting about it is all the marquee matchups that we're going to miss. I mean, just off the top of my head, Ohio State, Oregon playing each other, the Oregon, North Dakota State game that we're all looking forward to watching, Trey Lance hopefully ball out against Oregon. We're not going to get to see that game. I mean, there's several marquee matchups that we're not going to be able to get. So between all of that, it's got me curious. If I wonder if some guys' stocks are now on the downslide because, you know, I mean, look at guys like Trevor Lawrence. You know, Trevor Lawrence runs the ACC. If he's not playing those big time matchups, which I'm not sure if he was going to this year anyway, but if he's not playing that bit of those big time matchups, then are we starting to slide some guys' stock other than Trevor Lawrence? Obviously, their stock downwards because they're not playing tougher competition. Something to think about.
Yeah, and that could be the next domino to fall. I know we've also talked about this, you know, off air, where are some of these marquee players whose draft stock is pretty much set, are they just gonna bail out of the 2020 season altogether, regardless of what their team does? You know, a person like you know, Trevor Lawrence, and like, hey, I'm the 101. I don't need to prove anything anymore. Maybe I just want to stay healthy and not risk it, you know, until I can get to the NFL. I mean, I think that's got to be something that some of these marquee players are thinking about. So it'll be interesting to see if that goes down. Jack, any thoughts on these conferences? Do you think other ones are going to follow suit pretty soon?
I think so. I think it gives them at least some flexibility. I think it's step one. I do have concerns that it's kind of hedging the bet at this point that there's not, I mean, with everything, the way that everything's developing in our country right now, it does not look good for a college football season. I mean, these guys are not getting paid. These guys, I mean, I don't know how they're going to have a season if they're not going to have a lot of college students back on campus. They're playing a game that is very, whatever the opposite of conducive is to social distancing, that's what football is, okay? It's going to be tough. So we may lose it. If we do, that'll be a very, very sad thing. But there's a lot of sad things going on right now. We got to get this virus under control. But hopefully, we'll be able to somehow make it happen. I mean, if that's going to arrive, we'll be stoked for it. I know we all will. So that's what we love. We'll be filled with joy if we get to watch some football. So hopefully we do. We'll see.
I know, Skip, one thing that you had hit on was these guys possibly that have already got solidified draft stocks not playing. Well, I've read about it, and I'm sure you guys have seen it too, where college football is thinking about moving to a spring season instead of a fall season this year. So if we're talking about affecting guys not playing, I mean, these guys would be playing football, what, all year round now? So they would go from playing in the spring to going right back in training camps, getting ready for fall football. I mean, does that affect guys? Just if your stock's solidified and you're already going to make some money, do all these marquee players just sit out the entire season regardless?
Yeah, it really is interesting when you start thinking about, you know, the kind of decisions that need to be made. And obviously people are starting to think out of the box and just, you know, okay, we got to figure something out if we can and not do everything the way we've always done it, which is, you know, sometimes you get creative solutions and they work. And sometimes you just get forced to make decisions that you'd rather not make, but you have to do it, you know, in the interest of player and public safety. So hopefully it goes well. We can get this under control. You know, people start wearing masks everywhere and respecting everyone, and that'll nip things in the bud like some of these other countries have been able to do. You mentioned North Dakota State, Matt, and Trey Lance, of course, the FCS not having a conference scheduled. So they're going to apparently look to seek independent games. Tell us more about what they're doing at the FCS level that you've heard about.
So for me, I've heard about the CAA has for sure canceled a conference schedule. They're not going to be playing any conference games. They're still allowing that conference to seek out independent guys. As far as I've heard right now, it's not a uniform FCS decision, but this is the first domino, right, that we're hearing about a school just canceling out everything entirely. So from what I've heard, it's going to be schools have to make the decision whether they want their players to play. It's the first domino, right, to fall, where we could see the entire season being moved back, like I was talking about, to the spring. So as sad as that is, though, that might be what needs to happen at this point, because we're not getting this under control, as you guys have said.
Yeah, exactly. And while we're just, you know, kind of wrapping up the COVID talk, if you're in, you know, in your dynasty or Debbie leagues and you haven't had that discussion or haven't had something posted on your league website about what to do with COVID-19, you know, NFL players or even college players in CDC leagues, now is the time to get that figured out. I'm seeing more and more of that in the leagues that I'm in. And it's really, you know, making the best of the situation and just laying down kind of the groundwork and the rules for what you should do based on all the different scenarios that could present itself, whether the season is delayed, games are cut out in the middle, the season's canceled, or it starts and it's canceled. There's a really good podcast. I'm going to kind of plug my Minnesota guys up here. Paul Charchi in Fantasy Football Weekly, Fanball, great guy. He did a whole podcast just by himself on, you know, things you need to be thinking about, you know, with regards to COVID-19. And I know, Shaq, you've also, you know, put together a really good set of kind of, you know, temporary bylaws for COVID. And I've, you know, John Bosch in the leagues that I'm in, he's done the same. So now's the time to get that out there if your league hasn't already, just so everyone's kind of on the same page. And we're not going to get into what the rules should be, because you're going to have to tailor it to your league and, you know, what you're doing. But get it decided. I think, you know, most leagues, hopefully the people understand that, you know, you gotta be flexible. You gotta be understanding and do the best you can. So, you know, I think one of the big ones is deciding, you know, exactly what constitutes a season as far as number of games played if they don't play the full season. So just want to recommend that out to all you people out there. And then the last piece of news we have, which is actually player news. We mentioned a long time ago, JD Spielman getting into the transfer portal. He has now made a choice. He's going to TCU, coming from Nebraska. Brian, any thoughts on JD Spielman going there?
Well, I think TCU has gotten pretty interesting. I mean, between one of my guys, Quentin Johnston, coming in as a freshman, who I really like. I think he has a legit chance to start as a true freshman. And then you got Zachary Evans choosing TCU late in the process. That caught a lot of buzz. And now JD Spielman ending up there. You know, if Duggan can take a big step forward, which hopefully he can, they have become a very interesting team to keep tabs on.
Absolutely. Matt, do you have any thoughts on Spielman?
Yeah, outside of those guys, too, I mean, you also got Marcel Brooks, that outside linebacker transfer from LSU. So, I mean, TCU starting to get some players now. So what was once a program that didn't quite get these heralded recruits and transfers is now starting to come out of the woodwork, and they've had themselves quite an off season. So there's somebody that's interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and one thing I want to mention too is, you know, people need to pay attention to what's going on with these transfers and don't make the assumption that they have to sit out a season. That seems to be less and less the case. There's a lot of special circumstances going around just with the reality of our country right now, and players are getting exceptions to that transfer rule. So don't just write them off. You know, they might actually be eligible this fall if there's games to be played. So pay attention to that in the news. All right, we are ready to get to our topic of the day. We have to start a new series, and we're going to get into the 2020 freshman class. We're starting with the top 10 running backs in the class. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. There's three of us, top 10, not divided by three evenly, but that's all right, because people love numbers divided by five. It's just a thing. Nobody wants a top nine. My daughter, by the way, who turns 17 this Friday, exemplifies this. We're watching television, and I cannot set the volume of the TV to anything that's not divisible by five. I mean, if I turn it up, I'll deliberately put it on 43 and just wait for her to say, "Really, Dad? Come on."
My wife's the same way. You got to put that's the awesome. Dial on an even number. My wife, if you put it on an odd number, my wife goes crazy.
Yeah, I had a college roommate who, she said, "Why do we always do even numbers when we're setting microwave times?" She goes, "Why can't we just do like 106 or 54 seconds?" And ever since then, for some reason, I do that. I just randomly hit times at start, and people watch me go, "That's really weird." It's like, yeah, it's a thing.
I randomly warmed up something in the microwave yesterday for like 17 seconds. I don't know what it was, but I was like, that felt weird. I didn't like that.
gotta live outside the box a little bit. So before we get into our breakdowns of the top 10, I did want to talk a little bit about putting this into context. And I looked at some past freshman seasons and pulled out some names. Like, okay, how did these guys from the top 10 actually do when they got into the NFL? And I started back in 2016 and went kind of farther back from there because I wanted to get the guys that had already gotten into the NFL. Really interesting on some of these seasons. So in 2016, you looked at the top 10 running backs. Only one guy, Miles Sanders, has moved on and is a name that people are going to know and want on their fantasy team in the NFL. And then I looked at the top 10 all-purpose backs, and the only guy there was Josh Jacobs, who was sitting at number six there. So a really interesting class, but it also, you know, it shows how, like last year, the running back class for, you know, rookies wasn't that great. It was like those two guys, and then, you know, some people like David Montgomery, other people didn't, but not a lot of talent there. But, you know, interesting hit rate there. 2015, there were three guys out of the top 10 in various degrees of success here. Of course, you got Ronald Jones, Darius Geis, and Saquon Barkley. And then Nyheim Hines was the only all-purpose back as well. So not some huge hit rates there. I'm going to go through a few more years just so people get an idea. You know, 2014 was a big one. Five guys out of the top 10, Fournette, Cook, Freeman, Chubb, and Michelle, I've all seen either moderate or great success in the NFL. And then the top two all-purpose backs, Mixon and CMC, you know, have been studs as well. So 2014 was a huge class. 2013, not so great. You had one guy out of the top 10, Corey Clement, and he didn't even do much in the NFL. But number three and number four all-purpose backs were Kamara and Zeke. So a couple of hits there, obviously. And then last year that I checked, 2012, we had three guys of, again, various degrees of success, TJ Yeldon, Mike Davis, and then Todd Gurley. And then the number three and four all-purpose backs, Duke Johnson and Kenyon Drake. So the point that I'm making with all these guys and these stats is your best season, you're seeing, you know, a 50% hit rate at best. Most of it's 10%, 20%, 30%. So when you're in Devy League, you got to be careful how far out you go with these picks. And just understand they're not sure things to hit. You know, if it's a CVC league, you're obviously going to get college production. So I think that's a different discussion to have, but it's something to keep in mind when, you know, when we're talking about these guys, if half these guys hit, that's a great recruiting class. Matt, you know, thoughts on kind of these guys that I put out there, you know, are you surprised? Anything on that?
So for me, it's, I guess the biggest surprise is just seeing how many guys. I mean, if you're looking at top 10 that we're going to be talking about tonight, right? If at best we're getting, I think average is one, two, three guys. That's a lot of guys that are coming in as heralded recruits. And we watch their film, and let's be honest, anybody looks good on film when they're playing against guys that just aren't as good competition-wise as these guys that we're watching. So we have to look at it through that lens and think, just because these guys look good on film, not all of them are going to end up hitting. And that's the same thing when you look at any position and any Devy guy that you're looking at. You can have a great college season. You could look like a surefire Devy prospect. But at the same time, you got to look at it through the lens of not everybody's going to hit. So you want to limit your risks and maximize your rewards and hopefully end up on the right side of things.
Yeah, Shaq, how do you feel about this list, and you know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think you have the right lens on it, Skip, to be honest. I think you're spot on. The main takeaway becomes be careful on how far you go out, because they're going to sort themselves out a good bit as they progress through their college careers. You know, like they're going to come in as heralded recruits, all of them, but some will work out, some won't. And you want to figure that out a little bit in a traditional Devy League before you go snagging these guys. Just assuming they're going to be superstars automatically. It's not the case. In a C2C league, like you said, you're getting college production. Even if they don't end up being superstars, you have a chance to use these guys and get weekly production on the college fantasy level, even if they don't turn into high draft capital prospects. So there's a little bit of a different spin on things there. But I think your lens is spot on. For me, what I like to do when I look at this is I like to focus on traits when I watch film, right? Like you said, Matt, like everybody looks good on film. Like when you're playing in high school, the level of competition on the other side of the ball is very different. So I like to really look at traits. What do I like in terms of the traits of the guys that that we're reviewing, that we're trying to evaluate? If I can see the traits, regardless of the competition, that's when I get excited and amped about a guy. And I think we got some guys here today that have some pretty damn good traits.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And let's get into those. For those paying attention out there, we're using the top 247 rankings, not the same as the composite rankings that you're going to find. So we do go by the top 247. We're going to start. First guy is mine. Bijan Robinson is the number one guy, actually, in both rankings. He's going to Texas. Five-star recruit, ranked 21st, and just a phenomenal recruit here. This guy is jumping off the charts. Awesome to watch. 6 feet, 200 pounds. He's in Tucson, Arizona. Breakaway speed. He really cuts well in the open field to extend plays and get the big play. I saw a really, talk about traits, Shaq. I saw a fluid runner. He made it look effortless to me. Sometimes you're like, okay, is he even running hard? But then you just watch, he's always running away from people. So clearly he's fast enough, or as fast as he needs to be. Really good contact balance. He takes the hit and just keeps going. I saw a patient runner at times. He'll let the play develop. He doesn't try to just, hit top speed, right away if the hole's not there. Good vision as well. He will find that hole and sees the field well, as he's running, again, to look for that open space that he can cut into to turn a play, from a decent gain into a big one. I think just based on a few plays that I saw, I think he's going to be able to catch the ball well as well. There are a few highlights where he made some nice catches, and he just looked like he had the hands that they were going to be soft enough to do that. The only thing worth mentioning, again, this is more from probably a C2C format, is that he is going to Texas, where Keontae Ingram is there. And so there's a chance that his freshman stats might not be what you would hope for, being such a highly recruited guy. But again, that could be a 1 year thing. I mean, that's the only thing on there as far as an opportunity goes. Matt, what do you think of Bijan? I know we've talked about this off air, so I'm expecting you to have a glowing review, but would love to hear it right now.
Yeah, man. So when it comes to Bijan, this is the one guy on this list that for me is a complete do it all back. I mean, you mentioned his contact balance, and that's the first thing that pops off on film. I mean, the way that he bends his body sometimes when it looks like he's going down, and he'll bend his body in a way that just kind of leaves you thinking, like, how was that even possible? Like, how did he get out of that tackle? It is really impressive. You mentioned his hands. He's got really good hands. There were some highlights where he was catching one-handed balls, so I'm not worried about him being able to not be a complete pass catcher at the next level. He's a really strong runner. I mean, some of the ways that he'll bowl guys over and just truck guys in the open field. He's really strong. He's fast, obviously. He can catch the ball. He's somebody that I like a whole lot. You mentioned Keontae Ingram. While he may, with there not being training camps and stuff like that going on right now, he may end up starting as the lead back. But with somebody of Bijan Robinson's talent, I don't think that's going to be something that you have to worry about later on in the season. He's the future of Texas running backs is Robinson, so he's somebody that I'm all in for. He's a complete do-it-all back, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would agree with that. My notes on Bijan, we use the phrase man amongst boys as a metaphor a lot of times, and I mean it more literally. Like, he looks like a man among boys. You know what I mean? Like, he is built like a man. He is built ready to go, walking in the door on day one, to be able to play at the college level. He's that kind of a dude. Huge build, really thick, nicely filled out. I think he may be the best inside runner that we talk about today. I think he's a brilliant inside runner. Their scheme is, they run that inside zone, run some power. There are a lot of backs that a lot of high school coaches are tempted to say, hey, let's put our athletes in space. right? Like, let's put our athletes in green grass and let them do their thing and just be better athletes than everybody else. I think Bijan's scheme is sophisticated enough as an offense that they ask him to go in between the tackles and find the space. Run that zone, find the space. He shows that vision. He shows the ability to do it. He's got a full repertoire of skills in his toolbox. And, you know, like, he's really ready to go from day one. So he has Keontae Ingram ahead of him, no doubt. But I think he's going to start making noise as a true freshman coming in as that next dude. I think he's a dynamite player. I really like Bijan a lot.
Yeah, definitely consensus there. I think there's no doubt why he's the number one rated running back coming in. All right, going on to number two guy. This one is your Shaq. We've got DeMarcus Bowman from Clemson. Tell us about him.
DeMarcus Bowman, Clemson, five-star guy. Consensus five-star all around the board. He's 5'9", 191, so he's not the thickest guy in the world. He ran a 4.47 in a 40 verified at the opening event. I ran for over 2,400 yards as a senior, 36 touchdowns. Comes from a big-time program, too, at Lakeland High School in Florida. Came through big-time on big stages, right? Like that 2018 state title win over St. Thomas Aquinas, another legendary huge program down in Florida. He ran for 222 yards in that game to win the state championship. So he knows what it's like to be on a big stage and perform on that stage, so he's going to do just fine coming into Clemson. When I watch DeMarcus Bowman on film, the term that comes to mind for me very quickly is fifth gear. That dude has a gear in the open field that is rare. You just don't see it very often. Like, he navigates through traffic at a certain speed, but when he hits that seam, he vaporizes defenders. He just hits a gear that resets the geometry of the play. Nobody can get an angle on him because he has reset the angle in the open field, and he's just gone. He doesn't get caught from behind. I really like Bowman and his speed. The way he's able to change those gears and just hit the end zone is really impressive. He reads block as well in space. I think he has very good vision overall as a runner. There's not a ton of receiving on film, a little bit. He can do it. It just doesn't look like he was asked to do it a whole lot. To me, there's a lot of Travis Etienne in DeMarcus Bowman. So I think Clemson in some ways is bringing in another Travis Etienne to spell Travis Etienne when needed. I mean, obviously they have Lynn J. Dixon. He's certainly in the mix and he deserves to be so. But I think Bowman is not going to take a lot of time to get in on the action, to stop building buzz. It's very well documented that Travis Etienne, even last year, barely ever played in the fourth quarter. So I think this year, obviously we're operating as though we have games, hopefully we do, I think Bowman is going to be able to get in at worst late in games and start to really build buzz and get people excited for what's ahead for the Clemson backfield.
Yeah, you mentioned his fifth gear, man. That's the one thing that when I was watching his film that I noticed right off the gate. I mean, this kid is lightning fast. I mean, when he gets in the open field, I mean, safeties, cornerbacks, 20 yards down the field, it doesn't matter. You're not catching him. I mean, he's so fast. It doesn't matter what angle you try to take. You're not getting him. But he's not just a fast guy, right? He's also kind of stupid athletic, too, at the same time. I mean, there were several plays on his film where he was hurtling over guys. So anytime that you can hurtle over guys, I can't jump all that much, so I can only imagine how hard it is to jump over a full person's body. So, I mean, anytime you can do that, you're pretty athletic. Great contact balance. He is stuck behind Etienne for this year, or for at least three quarters, right, if it all goes like it did last year. But you mentioned it, Shaq. You know, this is somebody that, for right now, fits into the same mold as Etienne does. I mean, he's essentially the same skill set that Travis Etienne brings to that offense. So while he may not get onto the field much this year, as soon as Travis Etienne goes into the draft next year, they've got another Travis Etienne right behind him. And I like how you pointed that out. I mean, he fits that mold so perfectly for what that offense wants to do.
Yeah, that'll be a real treat for the Clemson opponents. They get to see Travis Etienne leave the field and get replaced by a guy that's a clone of him, just as fast and turns the corner quickly and accelerates. And he's going to be hungry being an incoming freshman. So good for them. All right, let's go to your guy next. Zachary Evans, Matt. TCU took a while to get there, but What do you think of the third-rated running back?
So, yeah, we just talked about TCU getting all these highly rated recruits and transfers, and Zachary Evans is one of them. He's coming in at 5'11", 200, so he's already got that size that you like to see from a college runner. Can maybe see the stand and bulk up a little bit, but he's already got a good size. He's got a verified 4.51 speed, 37-inch vertical. He finished his high school career with 4,867 rushing yards and 76 total touchdowns, so he's a uber-productive guy in high school. Look, guys, when it comes to talent-wise, Zachary Evans has all the talent in the world, right? Nobody's going to argue that Zachary Evans isn't a talented kid. What everybody's worried about is what's between the ears, and that's something that has plagued Zachary Evans' whole recruiting process. When you think of Zachary Evans, you know, you remember he planned to go to Georgia. He flipped his decision, told a reporter him and a teammate later that he committed to Alabama were a package deal. So a lot of people thought, okay, maybe he's going to Alabama. We waited for what seemed like forever, and he ended up at TCU with a lot of stuff in between. So a lot of guys remember him for this crazy recruiting journey mixed with a little bit of not wanting to give his up his cell phone, getting him sent home early from a state championship game. So he's got a lot of stuff off the field that you're worried about. But when it comes to on the field, guys, this might be one of the most explosive guys and one of the best running backs that we're talking about tonight. He's fast and explosive in the open field with the skill to house long runs. He's got the power that you like to see to break tackles. He's a patient runner behind the line of scrimmage, hits the holes at full speed. So when he sees those holes open up, he's gone. He's through them. He's got great vision and agility to bounce the ball between the tackles or to bounce it outside. He's got good balance, and he's even an able pass catcher. So he's got everything that you like to see. He's got those traits, Shaq, that you talked about you like to see out of a running back, especially when we don't really know how productive they're going to be later on in the career. But at the same time, guys, it's not about his talent. It's about what's between the ears. That's what worries me the most about Zachary Evans. But what do you guys think?
For me, I think talent-wise, he is the dude. He's the number one running back in terms of talent for me, like even ahead of Bijan in terms of he just can do some things naturally and smoothly that others can't, flat out. I mean, and a lot of people have talked about to some folks, he's been described as the best running back prospect since Adrian Peterson from a talent perspective only. That's big, big talk right there. But he has truly got some special things he's able to do. His offhand work is truly special. I love that. It's one of my favorite traits to see. As a former high school assistant coach, spent a few years working with running backs, and that was one of my things that got me really amped is seeing really strong offhand work. You know, I mean, it just helps with balance, gets you bonus yards, all that. But Evans, like you said, talent-wise, off the charts, just all those other flags, man, they get you worried. But as long as he's able to put it together, he could be the number one guy in this class running back wise, because he has ability that few do on this planet. So going to TCU, coming out of the same place as LaDainian Tomlinson, it's going to be interesting to follow his career. Hopefully he can have a similar trajectory. We'll see.
Yeah, you guys definitely hit on all the main points. I don't need to repeat any of that, but I saw all that as well. Just a really smooth runner and glides, great physical talent, excellent athlete. It's interesting that you made the AP comparison because, of course, he played up here in Minnesota for a long time and, you know, obviously one of the most physically gifted players ever. I mean, just a freak athlete, and he works at it. I mean, the guy's work ethic is second to none, but was also not necessarily the sharpest knife in the drawer. So that the head stuff is kind of an interesting comparison from a Vikings fan's perspective. All right, we're going to move on to our fourth guy, and I am super excited to talk about this one. Jahmyr Gibbs, Shaq, is yours, going to Georgia Tech. Tell me about Gibbs and what you think of him, and I can't wait to talk about this guy.
He's special. He's a four-star guy. Number 44 on the top 247 rankings, which is significantly higher than the composite. I think that's why we like the top 247, is because they seem to vibe with how we read things as well. He's 5'9", 191. He doesn't look that light to me on film. He looks pretty well put together. He seems to carry his weight well. He's coming out of Dalton, Georgia. In high school, ran for over 2,500 yards last year as a senior, 40 touchdowns, very impressive. He had at least on the listing of things he had, he's listed with at least 28 offers. Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, all among those listed among his offers. The one school that's not listed, interestingly, Georgia. So he stays in his home state, goes to Georgia Tech. Going to be interesting to see if he has that chip on his shoulder for not getting that Georgia offer. I think he could have, he certainly would have deserved it. His contact balance is genuinely exceptional. He plays with tempo changes, sometimes multiple times throughout a run, and I think it's really a sophisticated trait. I don't know what's going to work at the college level, but to me it demonstrates like a fascinating manipulation of defenders that will serve him well at the next level regardless. He understands how to control the psychology of a defender. Like, he sets the angle for him working at one tempo, so they are going to take that angle, and then he uses that angle that they then took against them by changing the tempo, and then as soon as they have committed to the angle, he changes that angle. So it's just, it's awesome to see the way he does that, and sometimes he'll do it multiple times within a play. I think his lateral agility and ability to get back to peak velocity almost immediately is fantastic. Really hits those seams, attacks aggressively, one cut burst. I think his top end speed is blazing. I wrote down in my notes, I said he runs like he's being chased by a tiger. Like, he runs with, like, he's always got that fight or flight adrenaline rush to him, right? I think he's plenty physical when he needs to be. He's compact, got a good pad level. He really has it all as a runner to me. There's not a ton of receiving on his film. He did have 15 grabs, so it seems like he can do it, but it wasn't asked to do it a lot. To me, one of the other things I love about Jahmyr Gibbs is he loves playing football, and it's evident. He has great enthusiasm when he scores. He celebrates with his teammates. He's got that infectious juice. Looks like everybody loves playing with him. It just, you love to see that kind of energy and enthusiasm on the field. For me, give me all the Jahmyr Gibbs. I want it all, man. He might be my favorite dude that we talk about today. I think he's special.
I tell you what, man, football would be a whole lot more interesting if there are guys around there being chased by tigers, wouldn't it?
Back to the gladiator days. That's what they say up here. You know, if you're out hiking in the woods and you run into a bear, you don't need to be faster than the bear. You need to be faster than the guy that you're hiking in the woods with.
And Eddie Lacy would not survive that game.
No.
Yeah, when it comes to Jahmyr,
do you love this guy as much as Shaq?
Yeah, when it comes to Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, you mentioned his contact balance. That's really evident on his film. I mean, he's got just insane contact balance to bounce off tacklers and evade tacklers. I noticed that he's explosive through the hole. He's got a good bit of wiggle to his game. He was also used some that I saw in the return game, so I know how much we all like guys being used in the return game. He was used at that aspect as well, which shows his explosiveness in that as well. If there's one thing that maybe might cause me not to be as high on him as clearly Shaq is he's patient behind the line of scrimmage, but at some points I notice that he tend to dance around the line behind the line of scrimmage a little too much for my liking. I don't know if that was just the game film I watched. I don't know if that's a trait he has, but I don't know if you guys noticed it as well. But I noticed he tends to wait for holes to develop and dance around back there trying to make stuff happen. And that doesn't always work out for him. But, you know, the same could be said about Saquon Barkley when he was in college. So that's not always the worst thing in the world, but it's worth noting to me.
Yeah, I love this guy. When I watch his film, he immediately moved up my rankings. Just he looks so shifty, and his cutting ability is so quick, and he just doesn't seem to lose speed. That kind of pops on film for me. And we talked earlier about you look for traits from these guys because you don't know, you know, you can't really say, you know, production in high school because they're all just these awesome athletes competing against guys that aren't. But man, that trait, it's just like I can see him, you know, doing what Shaq said, you know, setting guys up and making them miss, and he's so shifty. Yeah, I'm definitely all in on the get some Jahmyr Gibbs, please. So we got to remember this when it's our turn on the clock in the CBC League, and we're sharing that team. Jahmyr Gibbs is our guy.
For anybody listening to that league, we don't like Jahmyr Gibbs at all. You don't need to touch him. He's somebody that's not interesting in the slightest.
Right, exactly. These aren't the running backs you're looking for. All right. The fifth guy on the list is our first all-purpose back, and it's the one that I'm going to break down going to Texas A&M named Devin Achane. He's a four-star recruit, 5'9", 170 out of Missouri City, Texas. So obviously playing in Texas, getting that good competition. He scored a total of 116 touchdowns in his high school career with just over 7,200 combined yards. So this guy was amazing in high school. He's very fast. He's elusive. He's shifty. He is just an electric talent. He has explosive ability. This kid is a threat to house it every time he touches the ball. And they basically did whatever they could to get him the ball. You know, when you're getting 7,200 yards, he's a great receiver. He can run the ball. Very quick acceleration and speed through his cuts. He's patient. He's got great vision. You know, there is one thing going to hold him back a little bit in his freshman season, because he's got Isaiah Spiller sitting there, who's a really high-end Debbie running back. But I think with a talent like this, that he's gonna get on the field. I mean, you can't get a guy like this into your roster and not utilize him. In my opinion, they will find ways to get him the ball. I can see that happening for sure. I would love to get your opinion on this guy, Matt. You know, what did you see, and anything that I didn't mention that you thought you caught there?
Yeah, man. So like you said, uber productive in high school. Anytime you score over 100 touchdowns, that's something that's worth noting, paying attention to. This guy's a do-it-all guy. He was using Wildcat. He ran the ball. He caught the ball. I mean, he did it all. And anytime this team needed to play, it went through this kid. And he was the guy on the roster that the coaches tried to make sure that the ball was in his hands just about every trip down the field. Crazy fast, but he's also physical at the point of tackle, I noted. The way he puts his foot into the ground and changes direction is a thing of beauty to me. I mean, it's just really, really fun to watch. He's through the hole. When the hole opens up, he's through that hole like a bullet. I mean, his explosiveness and acceleration through the hole is impressive. He's also, from one of the biggest things for me that I liked, was he became a wide receiver when the ball was in the air. He was one of the better pass catchers that we're talking about tonight, in my opinion. So for me, like you guys were all in on Jahmyr Gibbs, Achane for me was definitely one that I'm higher on than probably most people, because, I mean, I love watching his film.
That's interesting to me, because for me, I had him as at my bottom two. Like, I wasn't sure if he was my least favorite, but he was definitely bottom two for me of the 10 we're going to talk about today. I think he's an excellent receiver, certainly a tremendous athlete. I just have concerns. He definitely does not have that feature back size. He looks it on film. He's got to get bigger and stronger. But so for me, his skill set, his frame, it looks to me like he's got a third down role for his entire career, wherever that takes him. I think he ends up, he may end up being the feature back once Spiller moves on, perhaps. But I think he's got to add some size to be able to do that. I do think with Spiller there, he's going to be able to earn a third down role almost immediately for Texas A&M, because he's certainly a plenty good enough athlete to do that. But that isn't exactly Spiller's strong suit to begin with. So he's stellar on first and second down, but I don't think he's nearly as much of a threat on a third down skill set. So I do like Achane. Or Kane, however you say it, I'm not sure. I like him to be able to get on the field pretty quickly for Texas A&M. I just don't know that I see him. You know, we just said at the top of the show, like, not everyone's going to hit. I just don't know that I see a guy that's definitely going to hit big time in this kid.
Yep, yeah, I totally agree on the size thing. The 170 pounds is definitely a concern there. All right, going on to the next guy. This is yours, Shaq. Don Chaney Jr. going to Miami. Tell us about Don.
I like Don Chaney a lot, man. Four-star kid. Top 247 has him at 73 overall. That's a decent bit higher than the composite has him at 114. He's a hometown guy out of Miami, Baylen Jesuit Prep. 5'11", 203, so he's got some decent size. He could fill out a little bit more. But not bad necessarily. He at 5'11", he doesn't carry it quite as well as some of the shorter, more compact guys. So you would, you know, you're sure he's going to add some when he gets in that college strength program. Let's see. His speed jumps off the screen. That's for sure. He's got quick burst and also legit long speed. Does not get caught from behind. 4-4 wheels. An excellent athlete all around. He was a state champion in the high jump. Pretty impressive in the state of Florida. That's a big state. Strong contact balance. I really like his whole toolbox of moves. Like I said, excellent offhand work. We talked about that already. That's one of my favorite things to see in running back prospects. His pad level, I think, fluctuates. Sometimes it's good in traffic, and then he drifts upright at times as well. You know, you watch his film. I think his level of competition is a little suspect. I can't say that for sure, but he's so much better than everybody, and that happens a lot with some of these top-end athletes, but he's so much better that I'm not sure what that level was that he was playing against because it's such a – we said man amongst boys is a metaphor. This is definitely that metaphor because he was on a whole different league than everybody else on the field, it seemed. He played in one of those old-school wing T offenses as a wing back, as an A back, B back. So it's probably going to take him a little bit of time to develop the nuanced skills to excel at his ceiling in a college offense. But he was terrific at what he needed to do in that offense. He really had that true explosion on those 90-degree cuts on those buck sweeps that are traditional in that offense. So he really bursts out of those cuts. You really like to see everything that he did on film, man. I think he looks capable as a receiver, wasn't asked to do it a ton. I like the comp that 24/7 put out there to a Marlon Mack. I think that's a very solid comp overall. He could work in as the next guy in behind Cameron Harris, even as a freshman. Jalen Knighton was another guy there. I think in the composite, I think he's actually even higher than Chaney, but I prefer Chaney by a good bit. I'm excited about him. What do you guys think?
I mean, for me, Shaq, this is something that what I'm noticing here is me and you are not watching film the same way. And I mean that by saying I'm probably watching film wrong because I know that you know what you're talking about way more than I do. So this is one of those guys that I'm definitely going to probably end up deferring to your opinion because when I watch Chaney on film, he's got great physicality that you like to see as a runner. You mentioned his speed. He's got good speed around the edge. There were several times that I did see him getting caught by guys. I don't know if the guys had better angles than he did, but I did see him get caught occasionally. He can catch the ball, but isn't as natural as some of the other guys on the list. So he seems like to me that one of those guys that he's a good running back and somebody that'll find a role in offense and take over and probably do something. But he's one guy for me that just doesn't excite me as some of the other guys on the list. Now, whether that be whether he wasn't paying as good a competition as everybody else, so it didn't pop as much. But for me, he's somebody that I was left saying just like, he's another guy for me. He's not somebody that excited me as much as some of the other guys we're talking about. And so he's one that I'm definitely probably going to end up deferring to your opinion here.
That's fair, man. I mean, it's not everybody's for everybody, for sure, for certain. I will absolutely concede that he's not the tier one of the guys we're talking about today. He's definitely not tier one. I think he's a tier two in the guys that we're discussing today. What are your thoughts, Skip?
Yeah, I also have him farther down on my list. I like a lot of his game, and I just didn't see anything that I thought was exceptional. I thought he was just really, really good kind of across the board. You know, he has the speed to make big plays. He can make some subtle cuts to get into space and make guys miss, but nothing that really stood out. I do kind of like the size, though. I mean, you know, 5'10", 203, that's pretty compact. So I could see him, you know, once you say he gets acclimated into that NCAA offense, he could become a really effective runner, you know, inside with that kind of size. You don't have to worry about that. So definitely there's a lot to like, but yeah, I did have him a little bit farther down as well. All right, Matt, the next one is yours, probably the best name on the list, because you got to love when the guy's name or nickname anyway is Tank. Tank Bigsby going to Auburn, 4 stars. Tell us about him, Matt.
So Tank Bigsby, guys, is one of those guys that we're talking about tonight that I just absolutely love, and I'm sure you guys have seen it. It's all over Twitter, my love for Tank Bigsby. He walks into the campus day one at 6 foot, 210 pounds. So he's got that true NFL size that you like to see, and the kid's only 18 years old. I mean, he's got the only place he's got to go is up, and he's somebody that's walking in as a full compact ready running back day one. So he's somebody that I like a whole lot. He's got verified 4.55 speed, although he looks much faster on game film when he's playing than just 4.55. He's an absolute power in the run game. I saw one play, guys, where he literally drug five guys 15 yards ahead of him. So, I mean, this dude, when his nickname Tank is Tank, he's literally a tank in the open field. I mean, there's no bringing this kid down. He's a strong physical runner. He's got good long speed. He improved his long speed a lot as his high school career progressed, improving his yards per carry average. For his size, too, he's got a good bit of bounce and wiggle to his game. I like his stutter step and cutability a whole lot. He's super agile for somebody that's 210 pounds. The kid just runs hard, and it's something that you really like to see out of your running backs. He showed elite pass-catching skills at the opening, which is a competition for guys, top high school prospects, to compete against each other. He showed elite skills there, finished as one of the top guys in the opening. One of the things I really like, Skip, and I'm sure you've seen on Twitter, is Whitlow is gone via the transfer portal. For me, DJ Williams didn't look all that great last year. I'm not a huge DJ Williams fan, so I like the opportunity that Tank Bigsby comes in and is immediately able to take over meaningful snaps and carry this offense. If there's anybody for me that I see to get meaningful snaps early and somebody that can come in and just make an impact as a true freshman and be one of the freshmen that we're talking about after this next season that just lit things up this season, it's Tank Bigsby. I mean, for me, when I was watching his film, his film was the one that I just couldn't turn off. I mean, I found myself looking up all the Tank Bigsby film that I could get my hands on. I mean, I absolutely love this kid. He is one of my top backs in this class. He's somebody that I see myself getting absolutely everywhere because he's the guy that I'm pounding the table and putting my stamp on this year.
Yeah, I've got him as my third back in this class as well. And I liked, you know, all the things that you said there. The shiftiness, he's elusive, great speed, balance, just really good acceleration. I mean, there's a lot to like about Tank Bigsby. And, you know, the fact that he's already 210 pounds makes him, you know, like the second biggest kid in this class, which, you know, that weight helps if you're already fast and shifty, but you've got some size to take the hits and dole it out as well. That's a huge advantage to these running backs. I do like DJ Williams at Auburn. The thing that Tank Bigsby has going for him, though, is that Williams hasn't had that productive breakout season yet. So people are that like him, like me, you know, we're looking at some of the traits that he has and say, okay, if this guy can get the opportunity, I think he can really be productive. You know, obviously with a recruit as high as Bigsby, that has a risk now of not happening. They could split time. Who knows how that's going to play itself out. But yeah, there is definitely a lot to like here. Shaq, what do you think about Tank Bigsby?
I think he's definitely a tier one guy. I love Bigsby. I think you guys have covered a lot of the key points here. To me, one of the things that jumped out to me too is the guy's hip flexion is incredible. Like, there was one play when it was on a screen pass that he caught, and a guy just undercut him, and he still just had the offhand work to be able to use that to balance him, and just like his hips like swiveled out from underneath him, and he still was able to stab that leg in the ground, get his balance back, and get, you know, another 7-8 yards. It was just like a special thing to see on film. And then just the way he's able to his juke game is crazy. He can get guys out of their socks, man. It's really legit. Impressive to see what he's able to do. You think of like the DeAndre Swift dead leg that people talk about a lot. Similar, but a little different, the way that he's able to get his jukes, just jamming that leg and firing off at full speed and just killing guys, man. I mean, Tank Bigsby's the real deal. There's no doubt. And I think he will see the field early at Auburn. And I think this dude's going to be a star. I think he's a tier one guy, no doubt.
All right, so good consensus there. We'll also have to remember that for our C2C draft. Got a couple of guys high up on that board together. The next one is mine, going to Alabama, four-star recruit named Jace McClellan. He is 5'10", 202 pounds out of Aledo, Texas. He's got pretty good speed, a nice little sidestep in space to avoid tackles. He does break tackles frequently, so I liked that aspect for sure. he didn't really have a quick cut or jump cut that I saw. He was more of a smooth style runner. I mean, just kind of flows through. Really good vision. I liked that about Jace. One thing to note is that, of course, when you're going to Alabama, there's just nothing but talent around you. And, you know, he's got to deal with the fact that Najee Harris is still there. He didn't go pro. I love Najee Harris. He is on my tier one running back list for the NFL draft next season. And Trey Sanders, a redshirt freshman's also there as well as fellow freshman recruit who didn't make the 247 top 10, Roydell Williams, but he is in the composite top 10, ranked 10th. So just wanted to mention quick that they're bringing in a couple of highly recruited guys. Of course, it's Alabama. I actually liked Roydell Williams a little bit better when I watched his tape. You know, kind of a little bonus here, but I thought he had more of that breakaway speed, strong runner, some quick cuts, really good contact balance. So this is one of those situations that I'm really going to be interested to see how it plays out. Which one of these two guys is the one that becomes the better prospect or the one that has most production in college? Shaq, you know, any thoughts on McClellan or even Roydell Williams?
Yeah, I spent more time looking at McClellan just because, you know, he was the guy on our list. But I agree with your thoughts on Williams as well. For me, Jace McClellan is a really good football player. He's a really good running back. I'm not sure that it's on the level of the others. Like, he's kind of like the bottom two for me on the 10 today. So I think he's a lower tier. To me, I see Brian Robinson is a really good running back for Alabama. He's really good, you know, and he's still there, by the way. Like, you talk about all the talent that's there in the backfield. He's like a Brian Robinson, right? Like, he's not like a guy that jumps out with a skill set that's so special that you're just like, oh my God, this guy's destined to be a star. So, yeah, I he's a really good player. So I take nothing away from him. He's a great athlete, a great running back. He's got a nice skill set all around, but I don't know that it jumps out as, you know, something that gets your eyes wide open and popping the eyes emoji there. Yeah, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, you guys both mentioned it. I mean, he's a smooth runner. I like what he does on the football field. He's a really great football player. But for me, that might be the extent of it. I don't, like you said, there's not one trait. If we're looking at, you know, not everybody on this list is going to hit that we're talking about. So you need to have at least one trait that sets you apart from this list. And for McClellan, I just don't see anything in his game film that sets him apart from any of these other guys that we're talking about. He might be a good football player and he might help out Alabama, but that may be the extent that we talk about when it comes to CDC and Debbie Lee. He's somebody that could be a fantastic football player, but somebody that you might not be as interested in just because of how buried he is on that depth chart versus the things that he does well.
All right, let's move on to the ninth guy on the list. This one's, again, back to you, Shaq. Marshawn Lloyd going to South Carolina. Thoughts on Marshawn Lloyd?
I like Marshawn Lloyd a lot. He's 5'9", 211. He's powerful and compact, right? Like 211 at 5'9", man. He's a thick dude. Comes in, you know, ready to go right away in that regard. He's got excellent pad level consistently on film. I feel like the defenders get attacked when they attempt to make a tackle on Lloyd. His lateral cuts and movement at speed really pop. He ran 4.51 at the opening, so that's verified. He plays with that speed on film. He's got genuine burst. It was like a kick return that really opened my eyes and get me super excited to see the burst that he had with speed. So he plays with you know, very good speed. He's got a full toolbox of moves. Like, he's got some jukes, you know, some spin moves, hurdle, all those things that really got you excited watching his film. The 24/7 comp to Frank Gore, as soon as I saw that after watching the film, made sense immediately. To me, it's a good call. Like, he's a thick dude, really got a nice skill set to be able to excel very early in college and potentially move on to the next level down the line. South Carolina's got four senior running backs that exited, including Tavian Feaster and Rico Dowdle to the NFL. He still has some guys there to get past. to get on the field, but there is every reason to believe, in my opinion, that Lloyd is going to play as a true freshman, and he might even start as a true freshman. Dude is talented, and I like him a lot, man. What do you guys think? I'm interested to hear your takes.
Marshawn Lloyd is somebody that I like a whole lot because, I mean, you mentioned he's a tough runner that shows just a knack for breaking tackles, whether it be cuts, spin moves, just trucking guys over. I mean, he's an agile guy, and he's just a tough guy to bring down. I mean, he's just a strong runner who can break tackles just about every play. So he's somebody I like a lot. He's got the good long speed that you like. I love his opportunity to start immediately. I mean, that competition for running back reps in that backfield is wide open. And I like Lloyd to come in. And we talked about, you know, how Tank Bigsby, I like to have a massive freshman season. I like Marshawn Lloyd just to have the same good freshman season that Tank Bigsby can have, because, I mean, he's got that wide-open competition. Nobody on the roster really challenging for running back carries. So Marshawn Lloyd could be one guy that we're talking about as well that can come in next season and see his stock increase. And that's what we're after, right, guys whose stock can increase.
Yeah, for sure. When we talk about traits that stand out, you know, and some of these guys haven't had many. You know, obviously, a lot of them have. But the thing that stood out on this guy was the strength and the low pad level. You talked about just running low and running hard. He is the best in this group of guys that we're talking about. That I just thought, man, this guy's powerful. He's hard to bring down. I mean, he will break tackles and just keep chugging. So. Really good, a trait there that I picked out about Lloyd. And I definitely like his opportunity to excel at the next level. Our last guy, Matt, is yours. Kendall Milton going to Georgia, which, of course, anytime a running back goes to Georgia, we get excited because they kick out running backs, you know, pretty much every single draft. Tell us about Milton and what do you like about the guy besides the fact that he's just huge.
So other than the fact that he's huge, he's 6'1", 215 pounds. He measured in at 220 at the opening. He's got the size that you like as a running back. Other than that, and him going to Georgia, right, we always like those Georgia running backs. He's got a lot of stuff that he does in his game that's going to set him apart from a lot of guys too. I really like his vision and balances are top-notch in my opinion. He's got a jump cut that leaves defenders just absolutely in the dust. Reminds me a whole lot of the jump cut and one step that DeAndre Swift had when he was a running back at Georgia. It's a lot like the same jump cut and the one that just leaves defenders wondering where he went. So that's something I like. He sees holes develop. Not many backs of his age and his range would be able to do. I like that. Those are two things that definitely set him apart. He's patient behind the line of scrimmage. He's got the power to break tackles. For me, he's fast enough. He measured in at a 4.76 40, which obviously is slow for a running back, but he seems fast enough to get around the corner and has the speed to take it to the house. Now, whether that be against the level of competition he was playing, we mentioned that before and earlier, guys, whether that be the competition he was playing, that 4.76 isn't going to cut it when you get to college. So you need to see him improve on his speed a whole lot. He's also a bit of an upright runner that I didn't really like a whole lot. He doesn't look to have a natural pass catching skills, although he can do it. Just need to see more of it. It's not something that he was really utilized while in high school. So I like Kendall Milton a lot. He's got a lot of things that he does really well, whether it be his vision and balance or his patience. He shows a lot of good things well, but there's some areas, whether it be his speed or what else, that you need to see him improve on. But what do you guys think?
Yeah, I like Kendall Milton a lot. I've got him, you know, in my top five in this class. The 4.76 speed is a little bit concerning, of course. That does limit the big plays. Obviously, guys can get faster. We've talked about that in previous episodes. But really, what stood out with him for me was just his ability to accelerate pretty quickly and make guys miss. He's got really good contact balance. The vision elusiveness was I rated him pretty highly compared to some of the other guys on here. So I like Milton a lot. I think he's got a great opportunity at Georgia. I think, you know, again, top five for me. Shaq, where do you have him in this class, and what do you think?
Yeah, I feel like I have him a little bit lower than maybe consensus, but I do like him. I also wrote down good vision. I was impressed with his vision overall. I was impressed with his patience to let things develop on the inside zone scheme stuff and to be able to find that space and then attack it aggressively as things developed. I think he's strong in all facets overall. I like him. I just, you know, maybe have him on the edge between tiers. You know, like I feel like it feels vicious to call him a tier two guy, but he's definitely on the tail end of if I'm going to keep him in my tier one in the class, he's definitely on the back end of that. So he's sort of a tweener for me in that respect. So I like him, but he's probably going to get taken before I'm going to grab him. Yeah, basically one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, I think I know other people like him more. So before I would take him, he's going to be gone.
Tier two is totally fair for me. Matt, what do you think as far as you're tiering these guys?
If I'm tiering these guys, I definitely got a tier break between Bowman, Bigsby, and Bijan for me. And then I'd probably put him tier two. Yeah,
I'm sorry to interrupt. Yeah, but like when you say that, I'm like, yeah, he's definitely tier two. Like when we start like listing those, I'm like, yeah, he ain't on those guys.
You're 100%
right.
He's not the running back that those guys are. So definitely tier two. And I don't think that's something that is critical of him at all. I mean, he's definitely a tier two guy for me.
Yeah, Matt, when you were talking about your tier one guys, you mispronounced Jahmyr Gibbs, but that's okay. No worries. All right, that is it for our top 10 running backs. Next week, or the next show, we're going to come out with our top 10 wide receivers, going to do the same format. So really excited to get into that. It's an awesome class. Will be a lot of fun to do that as well. Can't wait to pump that one out. Matt, give us your final thoughts, and where can people find you and your work?
Man, I just really hope that we have football this year. I don't know what form it's going to be in, but I don't know if I can do off season without not having some sort of football. So really hoping for football. Everybody, please just wear your masks. Like I know we talk about this a lot now, but please just wear your mask. If anything, do it for selfish motives so we can have some football this year, because I desperately need to have some football. So you guys can find me at Twitter at @DHH_Matt. I've been recently doing some breakdowns about underrated guys, putting out some breakdowns, breaking down some film with guys that I like to take on significant roles. So definitely check that out. I've definitely got a two-round Devy mock that's going on right now that I'm doing on Twitter. So Skip and Shaq, if you haven't participated in that, I don't know what you're doing. So get on Twitter and help me out. Help me run that for a little bit. Excited to reach out and talk to anybody on Twitter as always. And just excited to talk about these wide receivers next week, because there's some good guys to talk about.
Yeah, I really want to call out the Twitter presence you've established lately, Matt. You've started a couple of really good threads that have gotten a lot of people engaged. My phone's just blowing up with notifications on, you know, people liking it, people retweeting, people commenting. So awesome conversations out there. We're tagging the right people in the Devy community and the CDC community. So well done there. People need to jump in on that. You know, throw us your opinions. Let's have dialogue. It's a lot of fun. Love to hear from you guys. Shaq, where can people find you, what you're doing outside of this podcast, of course?
Yeah, just a quick final thought. I'm sure for some people, you know, they may have issue with the exact guys that we went with, you know, as a top 10. Look, we were going to pick 10. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to pick 10 to go with. There's definitely guys left out of that mix, like a Chris Tyree from Notre Dame. Like we said, like Roydell Williams. Like, there's plenty of other guys that are very, very nice, exciting prospects that are going to get added to a lot of very good college football teams this year. But we had to pick 10. So that's where we're going. There's going to be a cutoff at some point. But overall, this was fun. Looking forward next week to those wide receivers. You can always hit me up on Twitter at Dynasty Tools. Love connecting and contributing with my Dynasty Nerds crew as well. And of course, my Devy rankings are available at DynastyHappyHour.com.
All right. Thank you very much. For myself, I'm at SkipNewton31 on Twitter, and I do have a little bit of a personal exciting announcement to make. I was brought on board by the Dynasty Draft Room to cover the ACC for them. So really excited to get into that. I'm working with the guys to get the rankings up first, but then I'll be writing some articles. So look for that on DynastyDraftRoom.com. So super thrilled to be joining just a great group of people over there. They work super hard, kick out a ton of content. So still going to be on DynastyHappyHour.com, of course. I'm not going to leave this podcast ever. This is awesome. Still do my rankings up there. I try to keep those as up to date as possible as well. Not much is changing right now, but I still like to review those on a couple, you know, biweekly basis. So Really would appreciate if anyone has any ideas for the show, comments, questions, you know, trades you want us to talk about, throw it at us. We'd love to hear from you. Appreciate any ratings and reviews as well. So thank you everyone for listening. It's been awesome being back on the air with you two guys, and hope everyone has a great week until we talk to you again. Be a good human.